We're ready? Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. Love is so talked about today among Christians, non-Christians, religious people, non-religious people. And very few people understand love. What does it mean to love someone? Does it mean you accept whatever they do, whatever they believe? Absolutely not. Does not mean that at all. And that's what a lot of people interpret as love. If you love me, you accept whatever I do, even if it is totally opposed to the Word of God. That is not love. That is not the way God loves. That is not the way Christ loves. We have to understand this thing called love from the biblical standpoint, not from Hollywood, not from the romantic side of life, but from the Word of God. So let's spend a moment in prayer, prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love. Because of your love, you found a way that we as sinners might spend eternity with you. So we learn what love does. Love does not accept us as to who and what we are. But love provides a way that we can be who and what you want us to be. So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to the biblical understanding of spiritual love. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, last week we noted how love is one of the few divine attributes, in fact, it's the only one I found, of God that we can actually trust. So this morning I want to start off with why love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. Why love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's note five subpoints to this introduction. Subpoint one, love. Spiritual love, love that is acceptable to God, is not innate. We must learn to love. We must have the power to love with a love that is acceptable to God. Love is knowable in a person. We start out by learning of love from our parents in life. Then we as believers learn about love from Jesus Christ. Love is knowable in the person of Jesus Christ. That brings us to subpoint two. Love is not idle. Point one, love is not innate. Point two, love is not idle. Love is not stagnant. Spiritual love. Divine love. Love is an active force that has great impact in your life. Great magnitude, specific direction, and a great impact or effect in your soul and in your life. So point one, love is not innate. Point two, love is not idle. People, it cannot be idle because it comes from a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. Point three, Jesus Christ, the humanity of Christ, knows God the Father. Jesus knows how God the Father loves. This knowing of love of God the Father motivated Christ to obey God the Father, the object of his love. That's very important. So point three, Jesus Christ, the one whose love we're to imitate, love one another as I have loved you, knows how God the Father loves. Knowing about the love of God the Father motivated and directed Jesus Christ to obey God the Father, the object of his love. So point four, spiritual love is a powerful force gaining momentum or losing momentum. It can lose momentum. All you have to do is be walking in the power of the Spirit and then walk in the flesh. The longer you are in the flesh, love just dwindles down to nothing. The more you learn about Jesus Christ, how he loved, you will desire to duplicate that love in your life. Spiritual love is being a force, increases in magnitude, picks up and increases in magnitude. And as it increases in magnitude and in respect in the impact in your soul as well as your life, this will increase its own magnitude. In other words, we learn more and more how to love as Christ loved, the more we love as Christ loved. And finally, subpoint five, many believers desire to love as Christ loved. In fact, wrongfully, many believers think they love as Christ loved. But people, you have to know him. You have to know how he loved. You have to learn to love from him. That's the only way. It doesn't come from something inside of us, our flesh nature, generating this love. That doesn't happen. We have to learn more about how he loved and then let the Holy Spirit pour that love into us. That brings us to the obvious next major point. How did Jesus Christ love? The previous point, we have to know how Jesus Christ loved. So now we're going to think up how did Jesus Christ love. Okay, one, Jesus Christ loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. The love that Christ gives is not from Jesus Christ. It is from the Holy Spirit. He did not love by his deity. He did not love by his perfect humanity, but trusted the Holy Spirit to pour this love. I've told you many times, if Jesus Christ loved from his deity, then we cannot love as he loved. We are not divine. If Jesus Christ loved from his perfect humanity, we cannot love as he loved, for we are not perfect. Since Jesus Christ loved from the Holy Spirit, pow! Now we can do that. Why? He gave to us the Holy Spirit. That's one of the first things he did when he went to the Father after the ascension. He ascended and then was seated. The moment he was seated, he turned to God the Father and said something to the effect, you can't believe how horrible they are. No, that's what he did. You can't do that. That's what he said. He turned to God the Father and said, let's send him the Holy Spirit. They're my people. We got to send them my power. God the Father consented and sent to everyone who believes in Christ the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't do anything for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the 34 things you receive the moment you believed in Christ as Savior. It's a package. It's free. It's grace. It's from the love of God. You can't earn it. You certainly don't deserve it. But the moment we believe in Christ, 34 things happen, and one of those is we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This means we can now love as Christ loved, by the power of the Spirit. Secondly, and frighteningly, Jesus Christ's love was sacrificial to Himself, beneficial to others. Sacrificial to self, benefit to the object of His love. Now people, think about this. If this is human love, we'd never make it. Very few people love sacrificially. Most people's love is, I love you, therefore you do for me. Parents, I love you, therefore you mind me. Adults, I love you, therefore you do what I want. Husband to wife, wife to husband. Love is used to control people. Only spiritual love is sacrificial. I love you, therefore I will sacrifice for you. Sacrifice time, money, life if necessary. The sacrifice of life, one time. And only one time. But day in and day out, we're to sacrifice under the power of spiritual love. We sacrifice for the object of that love. Whether it's at home, church, work, social life, life itself. So, He loved by the power of the Spirit. He loved sacrificially to self, beneficial to others. Three, Jesus Christ's love was a love that whatever it takes to secure a benefit, a desired objective. In other words, His love would be whatever it takes. What did it take Christ? His life on the cross. A shameful death. Not just death. A soldier takes a bullet. A soldier takes a bomb. That's noble. But a sacrificial death of the cross as a criminal, it's the lowest form of death in the Roman Empire. It was shameful. The hanging up on a cross. That was the intent of the Romans. It was designed to be the most shameful death it could be. In America, not only are we moving away from capital punishment, but we've moved away from making it a fearful death. Oh, just lie down and we'll give you a shot in your arm and take 3 deep breaths and that'll be it. Isn't that wonderful? No pain. Now, they murdered somebody. They violently murdered somebody. They raped some woman. They molested a child. But we're just going to give them a nice, quiet death. That's not the death Christ died for us, people. There are 2 deaths He paid. 1, physical, shameful, hanging on a cross. But that wasn't the worst. The worst was the invisible, spiritual death. He died spiritually on the cross. Now we learned about spiritual death from Adam and Eve. The day that you eat of this fruit of this tree, forbidden, dying, you shall die. Dying, spiritual death. You shall die, physical death. Christ died physically. Christ died spiritually for us. His spiritual death took 3 hours on the cross. His physical death, instantaneous. After His work was over, His physical death was over. So Christ died, one, he loved in the power of the Spirit. Two, he loved beneficially, sacrificially to self, beneficially to others. And then thirdly, he loved in such a way that whatever it takes to secure a benefit. And people, this is important. Whatever it takes in life. Sometimes it takes humility, sacrifice, to produce a love that will produce what you want it to do, to bring someone to saving knowledge of Christ. You have to be very tender. You have to be sacrificial. Only the Holy Spirit knows what needs to be done. We have to be ready to follow the Holy Spirit and to do whatever it takes to bring about the desired goal of love. Next, the love of Jesus Christ solved the greatest problem you will ever have. I want you to think about this. If the love of Christ has already solved the greatest problem you will have, that means there is no problem in your life too big for the love of Christ. None. We never have to be afraid. We never have to feel hopeless. We never have to feel like it's all over. His love has already solved the biggest problem in life. Sin. Our sinful state. All the personal sins that we have committed. People, those are added up. If you take all the sins that we have committed, that's why we're abandoned from God. Because of personal sins. From the first time we sinned throughout every day of our life. Mental attitude sin. Sin of the tongue, gossip, lying, slander, and overt sin. We each have a trend of sin. Don't let anybody kid you. We all have a trend of sin. Some people's trend is obvious, and therefore, the more detrimental as far as public is concerned. Alcohol, pornography, things like that. It's a trend of sin. But let me tell you one that's more harmful in the long run. Pride. Arrogance, self-righteousness, how wonderful I am. That person doesn't need Christ. That person thinks they're going to get by on their own. So we all have these sins. And as it were, they all keep adding up. No, they don't. On the cross, Jesus Christ in his spiritual death, paid for every sin that you and I would commit. People, let me see if I can make this emphatic to you. The most little white sin that you ever committed, he would have had to die. Because that little white sin separated you from God. And then you add to that the big black ones that we all commit. He has to die. And when he died, he took the burden and the chastisement of all those sins that we've committed and did away with them on the cross. That's why the cross is so valuable. That's why the cross is our emblem of shame and our emblem of glory. Because on the cross is the shame of our sin and the glory of redemption from it. So, his love solved the greatest sin, the greatest problem we will ever have. Therefore, we can now believe that it will solve all the other problems in life. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. We haven't gotten to it yet, but let's look at it to our study. Verse 8. Love never fails. People, that is an all-inclusive statement. Love, spiritual love, never fails. As we know the meaning of the love of Christ at salvation one, our eternal life salvation, will lead to seeing His love in our life, throughout our life, no matter what happens. Life is cruel. Sometimes it's cruel from our parents. Sometimes it's just cruel in itself. Education process. Some people just don't have the knack of studying and learning. And it's very cruel to them. They're laughed at. They're failed. All these type of things that happen to them. Inability to do certain works. The way we look. See? Many times in my life, many years ago, I prayed, when you take time from Adam to the end of Revelation, would it have so violated the total plan of God to make me 2 inches taller? Would that have really messed up the total plan of God? See? Just 2 inches. I'm not asking for a foot. I'm asking for 2 lousy inches. And God just smiled. You are what you are. See? So there's just so many things that happen to us in life. And people, we've got to understand, He loves us. He loves us. He's provided everything we need. He's taking care of the worst problem we'll ever have, our sin problem. See? As we experience the magnitude, the impact of spiritual love from Christ on the cross, we will better be prepared to see His love throughout our lives. We will have some personal idea of what His love looks like when it affects us in life. Love is known in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. The cost of love, the cross, the suffering of love, spiritual and physical death, the direction of His love, you. You're the world. The magnitude of His love gave up His own life. See the effect of His love. You believe in Him, you have everlasting life. You believe and trust Him throughout your life. He'll give you peace, comfort. It's amazing the number of days that Christians waste crying, worrying, in fear, depressed, stressed out. It's amazing. Every minute you and I spend in stress, every minute you and I spend in worry, every minute you and I spend depressed about something, we've wasted that minute. We have failed to give glory to Him. We have failed to live in His love. It doesn't matter what is going on. And when you reach that point, people, let me tell you what happens. You have a peace in your soul. Others will not understand you. You really don't care. If you really cared, you'd be falling apart. If you really cared, you'd be crying. If you really cared this, you really cared that. Why are you so calm about this? And it's hard to explain to them. I'm just trusting Him. I'm just trusting Him. He took care of the worst problem I ever had. He can take care of this one. So, under this principle, we learn that Christ solved the greatest problem we'll ever have in life. Therefore, His love can solve our daily problems. Next, faith is not faith in faith. Love is not being in love with love. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Many people are in love with love. That's why a lot of young girls marry the wrong guy. They're not in love with him. They're in love with love. And they've superimposed their ideal of love on him. So, this is what I'm marrying, is my ideal of love. And it's wrong. You've married him, and he's a bum. See? He doesn't even know about love. But you have superimposed on him. You have put him, as it were, in your knight in shining armor. And he doesn't fit it. And you spend the rest of your life trying to jam all the parts that stick out of this gold, this shining armor, back into it. And he keeps slipping out. You keep pushing it back. You can't do that, people. Faith is not faith in faith. Spiritual love is not love, being in love with love. It is loving as a specific person loved. That person is Jesus Christ. Love is known in a person, the person of Christ. Christian faith is person dependent. Christian love is person dependent. It's dependent on the Holy Spirit. It is dependent on Jesus Christ. It is dependent on God the Father. Let's go through the chain of command. Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God the Father. Our love depends on them. So it is not just loving and being in love with love. It's much deeper than that. Much more difficult than that. Much more personal. It's in love as a person. That person of Jesus Christ. We are never commanded simply to love. We are commanded to love as Christ loved. Love one another as I have loved you. Love is in a person. Love has a meaning. Love has a substance. I'm to love as Christ loved. So I have to know how He loved. We are in the midst of seeing that love is knowable in a person. It's knowable in the person of Christ. Old Testament, love thy neighbor as yourself. So all you had to do is love yourself. If we lived under the law, the Old Testament, the best time to borrow money is when somebody's in love with themselves. If they're in love with themselves, they'll be glad to give you money. Don't ever ask something of somebody when they're mad at themselves. You won't get it. But as Christians, we're to love as Jesus Christ loved. See? We're not detached from it. It is in a person. Now, person of Jesus Christ, we have to know. We have to know Him. We have to know His love. Scripture, the Bible, reveals that a person, Jesus Christ, is many things. One, Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. John chapter 1. He is the revelation of God's love. We talk about how Jesus Christ reveals God to us. What does that mean? He reveals God's love to us. That's what that means. He came and represented God on earth. What does that mean? He represented God's love on earth. Jesus Christ is life. Life is a person. Life is a person. Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Love is a person. Person of Christ. Know Him. Love as He loved. Live as He lived. And then you will have life. And you will have love. The person of Christ. The love of Christ. The life of Christ are known in Scripture. We have knowledge of Jesus Christ that we can believe. Now we have knowledge of His love that we can love as He loved. You understand? We have knowledge of Him. We believe in Him as our Savior, saved eternally. Now we have knowledge of Him, of His love. Now we can love as He loved. Faith in Jesus Christ is based on knowledge, thinking. Faith in the love of Jesus Christ is based on knowledge of His love. Why do we believe in Him as Savior? The knowledge of Him. He's the Son of God. He's the only one sent by God to take care of the sin problem. He died on the cross spiritually, physically for me. All I have to do is believe in Him. Now, faith in the love of Christ is dependent on knowing His love. How He loved. He loved in the power of the Spirit. He loved sacrificially. He loved beneficially. So now we know how to love. Next, love that we are commanded in the new commandment is a love related to and known in a person. What is the new commandment? Love one another. That's another believer, not an unbeliever. The emphasis of the new commandment is a believer. And again, are we not supposed to love the unbeliever? Absolutely. But people, it's easy to love an unbeliever. I don't expect anything from him. And usually not disappointed. Don't expect anything. But oh my, you're a believer. You go to church. I expect you to be different. And when you're not, I'm mad. Not only am I disappointed, I'm angry. You come across as some great Christian, you know, and you're not. It's very difficult to consistently and persistently love another believer. And especially the closer you are. Familiarity breeds contempt. The more you know someone, it's very easy to become upset with them. Husband, wife, children, family, church. So it's very difficult. So we're to love demands the knowledge of this love that He loved. Love that we are commanded in the new covenant is a love related and known in the person of Christ. Let's note a few subpoints. One, take love away from the person of Christ. Take love away from the person of Christ. What do you got? Zero. You have no longer have love. You no longer have Christ. Think about it. Take love away from Jesus Christ. What do you got? You don't have Christ any longer. And you don't have love any longer. So you've lost out. You destroyed both. Two, love is not for the sake of love. That's very important. Love is not for the sake of love. We do not love because there is some merit in love itself. There is no merit in love that is abstract, detached from the person of Jesus Christ. Why many people marry the wrong person? That's why people end up in disaster. About love. See? I thought love this. I thought love that. My wife's going to hit me. If you don't want to learn about love from the Bible, read Charles Schulz's Peanuts. He'll teach you. See? Charlie Brown. I thought love solved all your problems. Linus's reply. Who told you that? It doesn't. You've got to understand, people, what love is and what love is not. We do not love for the sake of love. Point three, so point one, take love away from the person of Christ and you destroy both, Jesus Christ and love. Two, love is not for the sake of love. Three, by the way, let me add to that one. Love is not for the sake of love, it's for the sake of the glory of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are mine. Love isn't for the sake of love. Love is for the sake of the glory of Christ. People, everything about our life is about Christ. You've got to understand that. Anytime it's about you or about someone else, you've lost it. It's about Jesus Christ. We love our husbands and wives because of Jesus Christ. We love one another because of Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. And then next, to love as Christ loved does away with ineffectual experience. In other words, to love as Jesus Christ does away with mysticism of love. You know, love gets in your eyes, all that kind of stuff. To love as Christ loved is expressible. It's known in a person of Jesus Christ. And then finally, love is not for love itself, but for the glory of God. I just said it's for the glory of Christ, but remember why Christ came. He came to glorify the Father. It's about God the Father. Please don't ever forget that. Christ came to earth to bring us to God the Father. It's about God the Father, the one that we pray to throughout our life, throughout the day, throughout the hour. Heavenly Father, my Father, you're God of the sovereign of the universe, but you're my Father. So it's for the glory of God the Father. Next, a very important part of love. Trusting His love. We have already seen that love is the only single attribute of God that is the object of faith. It is the only single attribute of God that is the object of faith. What I mean here is, nowhere did I find that we're to trust His sovereignty. I believe in it. I depend on it. Nowhere are we to trust His omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. But we do have verses, I trust His love. I trust your love. So it is the only attribute of God that is an object of faith. Also, we've seen that love never fails. If you know and believe that you were saved by His love, then you will be led to trust His love. And you will be motivated to love as He loved. Once you realize, I'm saved by His love, I'll be motivated to love as He loved, be motivated to trust His love every day of my life. Things don't go our way every day. Things don't go our way. I trust your love. I trust your love. I think if I were a Jew today, and Iran, Iraq, all the countries in the Middle East swearing for my end of my existence, bombing that just went on this weekend into Jerusalem, into Gaza, these areas. Yeah, boy, this is getting bad. But if a Jew knows the Word of God and has believed in Christ as Savior, in his soul, he can say, but I know you love us. I know you have a plan for us. That's why we're studying Ezekiel on Wednesday night. Because God has a plan for Israel. I want to make this clear. The more you know of how Jesus Christ does not necessarily mean that you will be able to love as He loved. This will depend on your faith in the Holy Spirit. Not just on knowledge, but faith. We can study the book. We can write down all the ways that Christ loved. That does not mean that you will love as He loved. to love as He loved depends on faith in the Holy Spirit. It is God the Holy Spirit who pours this love into us. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Spiritual love. That's the only love that God the Father is looking for. He doesn't care. See, we make a big deal about a mother's love, and that's wonderful. The love of a soldier, patriot. But to God, these don't matter. If they're not from the Holy Spirit, they just don't matter. That's hard to understand and accept. But he accepts only the love that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it depends on your faith in the Holy Spirit. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit, for love is from the Holy Spirit. This knowledge will serve to motivate to walk by faith in the Spirit. That's why we have to have the knowledge. That knowledge motivates us to want to love as Christ loved. I want to love that way. I can in the flesh. In fact, if I'm honest, I don't even want to in the flesh. Because there are people, Christians, I know, I don't want to love. I don't want to love them. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, boom. Not only will I love them, I will have a desire to love them, and I will love them. Knowledge motivates to faith in the Holy Spirit. Knowledge is important, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to learning more and more of the Word of God. More and more. See? But knowledge alone is not enough. It's our faith in the Holy Spirit. Let's note a few things about faith and love. One, faith is knowledge dependent. We trust that which we know. It is not a blind faith. Spirituality is not mysticism. It's in a person that we know from the Word of God, who was here from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit moved over the created universe that was put under a freeze pack and thawed it out. Genesis chapter 1 is not the original creation. Study it carefully. Genesis 1, 2. The world became empty, became tohu va-bohu. And in Isaiah, the world did not begin tohu va-bohu. It became that because of sin of the angels. So God put a freeze pack over it. Put everything in a freeze. The Holy Spirit moved over. The water started melting and started to separating, and land came up, and all the restoration of the earth. But the Holy Spirit did it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He removes all the sin, causing us to be able to function in the Christian life. Secondly, knowledge of Scripture gives the believer consciousness of spiritual love. What is this thing called love? Well, we can understand that. We can answer that. It's known, described in the person of Jesus Christ. We have a consciousness of it. And then three, our faith in the Holy Spirit allows the Holy Spirit to pour the love of Christ in us and through us, and to give us consciousness of this love. So it's all a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I think it's very interesting. I've not found a passage yet where we're to love the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think it's wrong to love the Holy Spirit. Obviously, He's God. But the Holy Spirit's the one who produces this love in and through us in our life. Next, faith is not an end in itself. This is very important. Faith is not an end in itself. Knowledge is not an end in itself. Now, as I'm getting older, approaching the last years of my ministry, I would just love it if my epitaph was about teaching on spiritual love. But if you examine it, I'm always talking about faith. I'm always talking about faith in the Holy Spirit. That's the way to be filled with the Holy Spirit, by trusting the Holy Spirit on and on and over and over and over. And why is that? Because people, the way to spiritual love is through faith. But faith is not in itself all there is to it. It's not an end in itself. It's not an end in itself. Knowledge of the Word of God is not an end in itself. This is my life. I spend days at the office studying. I come here and teach. I only get to teach 3 times a week. So that you will learn and will know the Word of God. But knowledge in itself is not the goal. It's not the end in itself. Love puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge makes you arrogant. Love edifies. It edifies you. It edifies your relationship with others. And that's the secret here. So faith is not an end in itself. Knowledge is not an end in itself. The end is to love as Christ loved. The end is to be transformed into the image of Christ. People, Jesus Christ is not on earth. It's Sunday. I don't know what your plans are the rest of the day. Let's say your plan is to go to a restaurant. I don't care if it's just McDonald's. Get something to eat. You go to a grocery store. Let me tell you something. Wherever you go, they're not going to see Jesus Christ. He's not here. Christ is not here on earth. He will not step foot on earth during the church age. It's the Holy Spirit. So, how are they going to know about Christ? It's by you and me. How you and I love. How you and I act. That's all they're going to know. He's not here. We're his representatives. We aren't here to represent him. So if they're going to learn about the love of Christ, it's going to be from us. One of my favorite little things to do is to meet certain people in life, in a mall, airport, restaurant, wherever. And just by interacting, you're a Christian, aren't you? Oh, yeah, I am. It's so funny how people are. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get fired. See? I can tell. And you realize, you and I are going to be together forever and ever. Isn't that a horrifying fact? See? But that's the only way that they're going to know. It's by the way you and I love. So, faith is not an end to itself. Knowledge is not an end to itself. The end is to love as Christ loved. The end is to be transformed into the image of Christ. God the Father has sent His Son. Then God the Father sent His Spirit. Jesus Christ has revealed Himself that we can love as He loved. The Holy Spirit has preserved that in this book. This is a phenomenal book. Yesterday was a celebration in 1527, 1528. Martin Luther was arrested. He was put into isolation. You know what he did? He translated the Bible into German. He didn't sit there moping. Well, woe is me. It's all over. I started a riot. Now I can't do anything about it. Started all this trouble. Made the Pope mad. Made the King mad. Made everybody mad. Here I am in prison with the rats. It's all over. No. You know what? I'm confined. Nothing I can do. But they give me paper. I think I'll just translate the Bible into German so that the German people can read it. That's a good idea. Starts writing. And that began the Germans getting the Bible in their own language. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. He wanted them to have the knowledge of the Word of God. See? So love is known in a person. Love is knowable in God. Love is knowable in the person of Jesus Christ. See? This is what love is. It's knowable in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we have time just to introduce, and then we'll come back to this point. Let's look at commandments. Look at commandments. Let's turn in the Bible in closing this morning to John 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. I read on my desk, I guess well known in his own camp, a man wrote a book on salvation. Do you know he has about 9 pages, a small print, dealing with how to be saved, never mentioned grace, never mentioned faith. Not once. He mentioned repent and be baptized. That's what you got to do to be born again. No faith, no grace, no Jesus Christ. Just amazing. And yet, thousands of people, huh? Yeah, that's it. That's a big one to him. That's a big one. And he just goes through. And thousands of people follow this man. It's just amazing. So let's look at John chapter 14. And let's start reading in verse 20. In the day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, plural, and keeps them, plural, is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Okay, think about that. I thought God the Father loved everybody. For God so loved the world. God loves everybody. People, if you want to be loved by God the Father, and I mean loved by Him, here's how. So let's see what He says. He who loves me, and he who loves me, will be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. Two things that I leave you with this morning. Think about it over this week. One, do you want to be loved by God the Father? And two, do you want Jesus Christ to disclose himself to you? Think about this for marriage. We marry someone. Let's take it from the man's standpoint. We want this woman to disclose herself to us. See, that's the difference in a prostitute. She gives her body, but not her soul. She doesn't disclose herself. She doesn't. But you want a wife that will disclose herself. You want a husband that will disclose himself, not build a wall around him and hide. Well, if she really knows me, she won't love me. So he never really reveals to him what he is, because he's afraid she won't love him. You want a man who will reveal himself. You want a wife who will reveal himself, or to use this word, disclose himself. You want to know Jesus Christ? There are conditions. There are conditions. There are conditions for having this woman disclose herself to you. What are they? Marriage. There are conditions to having Jesus Christ disclose himself to you. What are they? Love. The power of the Holy Spirit. This is talking about knowledge for salvation. It's talking about after salvation. I want to know Him have an intimate relationship with Him. You've got to understand Him through the power of the Spirit. Okay, we'll close here. Begin here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that You have revealed Yourself to us, You have revealed Your love to us in Your Son. And then, Heavenly Father, the great miracle, You have made it possible for us to love as Your Son loves. That's outstanding. That is amazing. That's a miracle. That's a mystery. That we can love as Christ loved. We praise You, Father. We pray that You use the things we've seen this morning for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.